Good morning.
It's good to see you. Good to worship with you. So glad to see everybody here. Thank you for worshiping with us this Sunday. We're going to be in John chapter 11 today, if you want to find that in your scriptures. John 11. We're going to continue in our series, our Easter meditation, our Easter thought, the resurrection. So we're going to continue along that idea. Just a few reminders just before we jump into our text today. I want to encourage you, you know, Easter is one of those seasons, we have Easter and Christmas, where those who are not usually following Christ, not usually of a mindset to think about God, they're a little more sensitive during those times. And so it's an opportunity for the church, for a believer to reach out to a non-believer around them and begin to have that conversation. And you can ask the Holy Spirit, well, how do I have this conversation with this person that you've laid on my heart? And the Lord will show you how. He will provide that opportunity, right? That's His job. That's what He does. He's faithful. And so let the Lord lay someone on your heart that isn't following Christ, that isn't a believer, and begin to pray for them and begin to seek the Lord. Well, how do I have this conversation? Isn't the lost worth that? We need to know that the lost is worth that. The lost is precious to Jesus, and the lost should be precious to His church. We've already started the preaching, for those of you that are a little short on that. And there was a good opportunity for you to say amen. The lost should be important to us. Instead of easily neglected, easily overlooked, conveniently not thought of, it is the church's responsibility to be thinking of the lost and reaching out to the lost. And Easter is that opportunity for us. So if you have not yet, it is not too late. Thanks to the power of God, it is not too late to begin today. Lord, lay someone upon my heart. Who would you have me pray for? Who would you have me talk to? Who would you have me invite? Now let me tell you, this is not about building a church. Our goal is much bigger than that. Our goal is much more eternal than that. We want to build the kingdom. We don't want to introduce someone so much to the church as we want to introduce someone to Jesus. We're not trying to build membership here. We're trying to build membership there. So by all means, give your testimony. Talk about what Jesus is doing in your life and what He has done for you. If you can, share the gospel. If you can't, get them here, and we'll share the gospel from the pulpit. And let's get them to Jesus. You and I together, let's get them to Jesus. Everyone, every single one, everyone in your family, everyone in your street, everyone that you know, everyone that you've got a contact in your phone. Get everyone, because it's too much to leave one. It's too much. So this Easter, let's be intentional. There's somebody you can contact, reach out. Hey, I was just thinking about you, and you know we're going to have a special sunrise service. It's going to require a little extra coffee. We start at 7, but you know what? Come on. We'll be there together at 7. We'll go to breakfast right after. I mean, come on, we're setting you up for success here. We're going to take you to breakfast right after church. And then, hey, we've got an egg hunt. We'd love to watch the kids go fight each other for eggs in the yard. Come on. You get church, you get a meal, and you get entertainment afterwards. Come on. It's going to be a great Sunday. We want to see all you here. Bring your friends. Bring your family. Immediately following service today, this is a fantastic Sunday, guys. Immediately following service today, we are launching our volunteer children's program. We want all those that have stepped forward and said, I want to be a part of that. Meet us in the social hall immediately following service. We're going to try to get the pizza here around 12:15 or so. And we're gonna have a very quick orientation to our children's program for our workers. If you have not gotten with me yet, but you're saying, man, I really like to be a part of that. I feel like the Lord will be leading me toward that. Come on, join us. We've got enough pizza. It'll be great. Come on. We would love to get you in the rotation. We have it right now where we don't think, don't hold me to it. I don't think that any volunteer will have to volunteer for more than once a month. Right? So once a month, you're with the kids. While I'm preaching, you're with the kids going over an age-appropriate sermon. We have a curriculum for you. Very easy. All right? If you would like to be a part of this, we'd love you to be a part of this. Join us immediately after service. Tonight is our family supper. It would be wonderful to have every single one of you here tonight. If you can, come join us. This is how we work on these relationships. This is how we learn to care for each other. We break bread together. We're Baptists. We love to eat. All right? So come out. You're going to eat supper somewhere. Might as well eat supper here. Come on. Let's sit at a table. Get to know each other better. Care for each other. Pray for each other. Minister to each other's needs. Right? Be the body of Christ. We need to do more of this at Doctors Creek Baptist Church. So come out. If you're at all able, come on out. Be a part of this. Today is Palm Sunday. Traditionally, on the Christian calendar, we celebrate, we remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This is that occasion where he comes in riding on a donkey. We preached about this a year ago. And he comes in and they're waving palm branches and saying, Hosanna! And a week later, that same crowd, many that were in that same crowd praising him, were crying for his crucifixion. Let that be a lesson to us about the nature of a fickle and a frail human heart, that we have to keep our eyes constantly on Jesus. Today we're in John chapter 11. Would you turn there? We're in verses 25 through 26. And in John 11, as we're looking at our text, this is where Jesus makes one of the seven I am statements in the book of John. If you've read through the book of John, you may have encountered these I am statements. And John is very intentional about recording these statements. These are the testimony of Jesus about who he is. And if you read the Gospels, that is the question that is always being asked. Who is this man? Who is Jesus? And so John seeks to answer that question. Let me tell you exactly who Jesus said he was. And so he gives these seven autobiographical statements where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Today we're going to look at I am the resurrection and the life. He goes on to say later, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then finally he says, I am the true vine. Those are the seven I am statements of Jesus in the book of John. These statements are nothing less than a bold claim to divinity. They are very clear. You see, he's using a formula that references back to Exodus 3, where God revealed his personal name to Moses. Well, who am I going to say sent me, right? And God, out of the burning bush, says, I am who I am. And so Jesus is referencing that, and he's tying who he is to who God has revealed himself to be. And he says, the God that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush stands before you in the flesh, and I am the resurrection and the life. It's a very bold claim to divinity. It's a strong appeal to solicit the hope of mankind. The God that led this people out of Egypt is here to lead you into relationship with the Father. It's a clear instruction to put your trust in Jesus as the only eternal, only immortal, only living God. The setting of this conversation is a sad occasion, an occasion that we're way too familiar with. It's the occasion of a funeral. It's the occasion of Lazarus' death. It has been 4 days or so since Lazarus died, and Jesus is speaking to one of his sisters, speaking to Martha, and he's trying to comfort her. And so we join in that conversation. We'll look at just two verses. If you would stand to your feet, and let's look at John chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. Verse 25, Jesus speaking to Martha. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" You may be seated. This is the word of the Lord. Last week we explored the idea that every changed life, every salvation, every step of sanctification we take toward the likeness of Christ, that is evidence of a living Christ. That is evidence of the resurrection, because only a living God can change lives. And so we looked at the evidence of the resurrection last week, and each one here who has a testimony of Jesus' saving grace, of how he sustains you, how he keeps you, how he picks you up and sustains you. Everyone who has a testimony, you are evidence of a living Christ, evidence of the resurrection. And today our topic is the resurrection question. It's the question that Jesus posed to Martha. You see, this is a conversation that Jesus is having with her. She is upset that her brother has passed, and that is normal and natural. We can all identify with that. And Jesus says to her, "You know your brother will rise again." And she responds, she must have been Baptist. She responds with good theology. She's been paying attention on Sunday morning. She has great theology. She says, "Oh, I know, I know. He'll rise again in the last day." Right? And often we approach the problems of life with the answers we learned in church. Except they're just that. They're just the answers we learned. And that's just not going to work. Not for the life we're living, and the suffering in life, and the hurts of life, the disappointments of life, and the hardships of life. You see, just knowing the right answers won't work. Jesus is trying to redirect her in this conversation from just a head knowledge of theology. He's saying, you need to know that I am the resurrection. I am the life. Instead of a religion, you need a relationship. And I know I'm your friend, but you need to know me as God. You need to know me. You need to have that relationship with me where you trust that you'll see your brother again because of me. And so we look today at this occasion of Jesus speaking to Martha. She is, of course, grieving, heavily grieving. Lazarus has been entombed for 4 days. The family is practicing the Jewish custom of Shiva, which is 7 days of mourning. And during that time, while they're grieving, the neighbors would bring food and join in the mourning. There's a group of people there with the sisters, Mary and Martha, and they are grieving with the family. And something happens here that we need to remember, something that we need to record, something that needs to mark our life. Because Jesus was trying to mark the life of Martha. In probably the greatest hurt of Martha's life, Jesus offers his identity as her comfort and her hope. That's worth the price of admission today. That's worth you coming to church today, if you can get that in your heart. Jesus says who he is enough to deal with Martha's greatest pain. Who he is enough to comfort her in her greatest need. Who he is will get her through life's darkest storms. I don't know what you're dealing with. God knows. I don't know what baggage you brought into this place today. I don't know what you're dreading, what is hard for you to deal with. What is the weight that you're carrying? But let me tell you, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is what you need. Who Jesus is the strength you need. He is the hope. He is the focus. He is the power, the very resurrection power that will pick you up and carry you through. In fact, one day, that power that is Jesus, that person that is Jesus, will be the very strength that overrides the gravity that holds us to this planet. His life will override every sickness, every disease, every weakness. And one day when we see him in the clouds, the power of Jesus within us will cause our feet to leave this ground. And because he lives, we will live also. Praise the living God forever. I'm telling you today, get your eyes on Jesus. Do not get it on the problem. Do not get it on the sin. Do not be caught up with the issues and with the details. Put your eyes on Jesus, and he will get you through. Praise the Lord. Let me suggest to you that Jesus is the life. Our text today, verse 25 says, Jesus boldly said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, Jesus uses the word there for I is the word ego. It's translated in the Greek as ego. And it means I and no other. It is a term that expresses exclusivity. Jesus is saying, I am alone the resurrection and the life. You're not going to find the resurrection and the life in anything else. No matter what you go to numb your pain, to distract you from what's uncomfortable, no matter what else you go to entertain yourself, there is no other resurrection, no other life offered to mankind, no other hope for sinners. I and I alone am the resurrection and the life. Our focus must shift, just like Martha's focus had to shift from religion to relationship. Our focus must shift from our current distractions to the person of Jesus. Religion cannot produce righteousness. But a relationship with Jesus can change you from the inside out. Jesus is trying to help Martha move her belief from a religious principle to a relationship with a person. And that's what our Christianity must be. If you've got a bunch of good answers to life's problems, but you don't have a relationship, you're not abiding in Christ. You've got nothing. A lot of us have been taught to put our hope in a prayer decades ago and not follow it up with a relationship. And friend, that's not going to work. That's not what the New Testament teaches. And if you have questions about what I just said, I'd love to meet with you and speak with you. Let's look at the New Testament and see what the instructions are to believers. We are to abide in Christ, to have a relationship, a continual communion. where we dwell in Christ, we abide in Christ, we are constantly found in Christ. We must have a revelation of who Jesus is and believe entirely upon Him. We must have our confidence in Him. When troubles come your way, and believe me, troubles come your way, where do you find your comfort? Who do you go to? What's your first go-to in a time of trial, and a time of hurt, a time of discomfort? What's the first thing you reach for, the first thing you go to? Your plan A, right? Too many times, Jesus is like a plan C or D. When all else fails, right? Pray. That's bad theology. I don't like it. Jesus is the fulfillment of all God's promises and all God's blessings. Our hopes become realized in Jesus. Jesus doesn't just bring us life or fix our life. He is life. Now, that's something we've got to wrap our mind around. That's something we've got to see in Scripture and say, now that's the truth. Too often we've said, Jesus can give us life. Jesus can give us strength. Jesus can bless us. That's not right. That's not right. This scripture says, Jesus is life. Jesus is strength. Jesus is the blessing. He doesn't give us what we need. He is everything we need. Jesus gives us life. He imparts life to us because He gives us Himself. Later on this month, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And He didn't say, hey, I'm giving you life. He says, I'm giving you Me. And it will symbolize that in this supper. You'll symbolically drink My blood. You'll symbolically eat My flesh. I'm giving you everything I have for you, for your good, for your life, for your salvation, for your everyday struggles, for Martha at her brother's funeral, for you when you don't know how you're going to make it through the week, for you when you've had the biggest disappointment of your life and you're crushed. Jesus is there for you. Jesus gives us life, a life of holiness instead of the life of death caused by sin. A life to come, a life after this life, a life that is eternal, a life that is everlasting, a life that is actually fulfilled. You see, we live this life with longings that can't be met here. We live this life with heartaches that can't be met in anyone else. We live this life longing for more. Jesus is the fulfillment of every ache of your heart. Jesus restores life. He renews the life in us. He refreshes us when we are empty. You ever get to a place where you're just empty? You poured out everything that you have. All the love, all the compassion you have, all the care you have to give somebody, all the attention you really have for somebody. You poured it all out. You're at the end of your strength. You've given all I've got, and I'm empty. You know who it fills you up? Jesus fills you up. Let me tell you tonight, some of us need to go to the fountain. You've gotten empty. You've gotten empty and you don't know why. You've gotten empty and you just don't know what you're going to do. Let me tell you, it's time to go to the fountain. And He will fill you up. Jesus sustains our life. He gives us strength. He gives us His strength. He nourishes our souls. He gives us a relationship with Jesus. A relationship with Jesus is a relationship with life itself. Praise the living God. I'm pausing because it's just hard not to stop and shout a little while. It's hard not to just throw up my hands and shout to the living God. The truth has set this sinner free. And I stand before you as a testimony of what the Lord can do. Lost, reprobate, depraved, bankrupt, a criminal by this world's standards. Yet the Lord set His affections upon this wretch in a gutter. A drunkard, a thief, a violent man. The blood was shed for me. It covered me and is transforming me. I'm not there yet. I've still got lots of issues. But the Lord is good to me. And He hasn't finished His work yet. He's still working on me. Where others would have given up, He is patient. Aren't you glad He's patient with you? The Lord is so good. We speak of the resurrection like it's an event. Martha spoke of the resurrection like it's an event. Jesus says the resurrection is a person, and He is the person. The resurrection is a personal reality found only in Jesus. Let me tell you something, that Jesus is able in Himself to raise men from death to life. This is an authority that Jesus had at that very moment. We tend to think that Jesus got this authority as a reward later. Jesus will not just be Lord later. But this scripture tells us that at this very moment, at the moment speaking with Martha, Jesus is Lord of life in that moment. John Gill, a commentator from many years past, John Gill said something I'd like to share with you. He says, Jesus will be the cause of the resurrection. That Jesus, when He returns, His return will be the cause that the dead will rise and we who remain alive will be caught up to join them. John Gill goes on to say, Jesus will speak life into the dead. Jesus will command it into the dead. And by His Spirit, breathe into the dead the breath of spiritual life. John Gill is kind of coloring in the gaps there and helping me see what the Scripture says, that Jesus is the one who will call the very dead to life. You can't hope to have eternal life apart from Jesus. You see, He's the resurrection and the life. So if you're going to something else as your confidence, your hope, your trust, your faith, you're going to come up empty. You bet on the wrong horse. Okay? You're going to lose it all if you've hoped in anything less. You need a saving conversion. You need to have a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. And if you haven't had that yet, it's available to you today. Good news. Good news is available to you today. You place your hope in Jesus Christ. You believe that He is the Son of God. You have confidence that He is the Son of God. Come in the flesh as Jesus Christ. And you put your confidence in His ability to save. You turn from your sins, which doesn't mean that you're perfect, because none of us are. But your heart has a change. You turn from your heart. And in turning from your sins, you turn to Jesus. You have a change of heart. You turn from your sins, you turn to Jesus while believing in Him. And that, my friend, is the good news. That is how every one of us that have been saved has been saved. By repentance and belief. So Jesus is life. But more than that, Jesus is our life. Jesus is my life. Now what a difference that one word makes. It's not enough for Him to be the life. I need Him to be my life. Our text, verse 25, goes on to say, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, will live even though they die. So Jesus goes from this is who I am to this is who I am to you. He's talking in the terms of relationship. What a claim. Some say that Jesus never claimed to be God. This is clearly a claim to divinity. This is the great testimony that Jesus has of himself. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. This is a specific statement meant for specific people. This is not for everybody. The one who believes in me. This is for the one who believes in me. The one who doesn't believe in me, they don't get to participate in the resurrection and the life that I bring. But the one who believes in me, they're connected to me. And the one who believes in me will live. This is exclusively for believers. This is separate from unbelievers. A believer is in union with Christ. When you believe in Him, repent of your sins and turn toward Him, you have that change of heart. You're in union with Christ, and Christ is in union with you. And this is a union that is eternal. It can't be broken. It's forever. In Jesus' presence, death is no longer the end. You see, a connection with Jesus changes the reality of death. It transforms what death is. Death is no longer the end for a believer. Paul was talking about the resurrection to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15. We were just talking about that one, the believers, today. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 57. You may want to mark it down. It would make a great meditation this Easter. Verse 51, Paul says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed." That's something you can look forward to. We will all be changed. "In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory." Then he goes on to quote the Old Testament. He says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Christ Jesus." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell you, if anything should stir our gratitude and our awe and our worship, it is these words. This is what Jesus has done for us. This is how Jesus has transformed death for the believer. You see, the text says, even though we die, believers will experience death just like unbelievers. We will experience death. But our death is not the same as an unbeliever's death. An unbeliever is ushered into an eternal death, the second death. And it's tragic and awful. No one wants that destiny for themselves or for their loved ones or anyone you know. No one wants that. But a believer enters into eternal life with Jesus. The curse of death has been removed for the believer through Jesus. So the fear of death has been replaced by a living hope. We don't have to fear death. Not if we're in Christ. We don't have to worry about that moment. Because let me tell you, in that moment, you know who's there for the one that's passing. The one who's put their faith in Jesus. You know the one who's right there. And they're not going to, that person that's passing is not going to fall into some limbo. They're not going to be, oh no, here I am floating in outer space in eternity. No, no, no. Let me tell you, the hands of Jesus are on that person, and He receives them to Himself. They're in Christ and will forever be in Christ. You see, death becomes a blessing for the believer. That's what my Jesus can do. Death becomes a blessing for the believer. Let me tell you what happens to the believer at death. They lay down their suffering. For the unbeliever, they enter into a new realm of suffering, more profound than they've ever known before. They thought this life was hard. Let me tell you, the afterlife without Christ. But for a believer, we lay down all of our suffering. We lay down this life of heartache and grief. The Bible says it's finishing a race. Now, I don't have a lot of experience finishing races. As you can tell, I don't have a runner's physique. I don't run. I'm doing good to walk these days. But the Bible tells me it's like finishing a race. It's like pressing through the challenge of your life and finally crossing that finish line. Can you imagine what that like? I've done it. It's over. I've won. That's the euphoria of crossing from this life to the next. It is a healing of all of life's hurts. It is being found faithful to our Master. It is, you know, I always was envious, a little jealous of those kids in school that got all A's. Smart alecks. Show-offs, really. I mean, what arrogance. You know? And there they, you know, report card day, I would try to be sick. I would do my best not to go to school. And I, you know, it, somehow or another they got lost on the way home. I never figured that out. But you know, those kids are the ones, when they're handing out the report cards, they're sitting up straight, smiling at the teacher. You know, thank you. You know, oh. This is my only hope. On that day, being found in Christ, Him in union with me, as I cross through the transition of death, I can be as proud as one of those grade A students. Even more proud. This is my crowning day. You see, death for the believer becomes temporary. Jesus called it during his earthly ministry when he's speaking about Jairus' daughter who died. He says, she's just gone to sleep. Death is no longer a destination for the believer. Death is a doorway. Death is a threshold. We cross over it. It's temporary. It's a means to an end. We go from this life to the next life. And we just walk through death. Although a believer dies, they will live. How can this be? Only because Jesus is the life. Jesus makes this possible. Let me compare two texts with you today, both found in John. John 11:25, that's our text here. And John 14:6, the first one, John 11, Jesus is talking to Martha. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. The second text, John 14:6, Jesus is talking to Thomas. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, in both of these texts, there's a certain word used for life. That's the word Zoe. It is the difference between death and the life that you and I are enjoying right now. It is that intangible, necessary element that allows us to enjoy all that this life offers right now. God is the source of that life. All life is derived from His life. God shares this gift with His creation. He shares this gift with you. It is a gift. God sustains all life. He is the one who provides the nourishment, the vigor, the energy, the drive, the motivation. And God is the Lord of this life. You see, we are partakers of His life. This life belongs to Him. We are borrowing it from Him. It is a gift from Him. We sometimes fall for the illusion that this is my life. I'll do with it what I want. It's the sin of pride. It's the sin of arrogance. See, this life didn't come from you. This life came from God. John Gill goes on to say, speaking of believers, John Gill said, God Himself is the believer's life. God lives in the believers, and their life is hid with Him. I mentioned earlier that in Christ we have a living hope. I want to share that scripture with you. 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How do we have that living hope? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You and I have hope because He is alive. I'm leaning a lot today on John Gill, the commentator. And he has this to say about the condition of a believer after death. And I thought I'd share it with you. He says that the remains of a believer, he calls it the believer's dust. A believer's dust is under the peculiar care of Christ. And they shall rise by virtue of union to Him, and shall rise first in the morning of the resurrection, and with peculiar privileges, or to the resurrection of life, and with the peculiar properties of incorruption, power, glory, and spirituality. The Lord is the Lord of believers in life and the Lord of believers in death. D.L. Moody, the great preacher, while he was dying, it is recorded that he said this among his last words. He said, "Earth is receding, heaven is approaching. This is my crowning day." I would suggest to you that Jesus is our life, that Jesus is our life. But even more than that, Jesus is our eternal life. Verse 26 of our text reads, "And whoever lives by believing in Me will never die." Never's a big word. Eternity's a long time. Jesus is the only one who can make this promise. "And whoever lives by believing in Me will never die." Death for the believer isn't really death at all. Death for the believer is a continuation of our relationship with God. Philippians, Paul said in Philippians, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." How can death be gain? You see, it's not so much an end as it is a new beginning. It's not a loss to pass away in Christ. It's not a loss. It is a gain. Jesus promised the thief on the cross in Luke 23, "Today you will be with Me," where? In paradise. What have you and I got to look forward to? Paradise. What are our loved ones looking forward to? Where those that have gone before us, where are they? What makes any place paradise? Let me tell you. Jesus will be there. Hallelujah. And we'll need no light in that city because Jesus Himself will be our light. Praise the Lord. Believers will never die. What does that mean? We may lay down this tired body, but our life never ceases. We are changed. We become immortal. We become eternal like our Lord. D.A. Carson said, "Mortal life ebbs away, but the life Jesus gives never ends." The life of Jesus Christ will continue to be the believer's life because He's in union with us, and death cannot separate us from Christ. Sister Ellen, would you come forward? I'm reminded that in Martha's most difficult moment, Jesus offered these words to her as comfort, as her hope. Jesus offers His identity to you and I this morning as our comfort, our hope, as our resurrection power. Jesus finished His statement to Martha. He said, "Do you believe this? I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" Charles Spurgeon said that Martha had what he called an anxious, she was what he called an anxious believer. And he says that because she believed in Jesus, but she didn't believe enough to stop worrying. Now that kind of hits a little closer than I like. That kind of affects the way I live. Maybe it should. Maybe we know the right answers to give, and we've been going that way for decades. But we've not believed enough in Jesus to change what we worry about, what we trust in, how we cope with problems, how we deal with disappointments, how we get through life. The resurrection of Jesus is not just for Easter. It should affect our relationship with Jesus. It should affect our everyday of life. You see, many of us have a confessional belief, but not a functional belief. Today, that can all change. As Jesus asked Martha this question, the Holy Spirit asks us the question today here in this place. Do you believe this? To what degree do you believe this? Today, our invitation to you is that this truth that Jesus is the resurrection and the life would so be at the core of what you believe about Jesus that you can lean upon it. You can trust it in life's most difficult moments. That the hope He gives will be your everyday hope. No matter how dark the skies have gotten, rough the waves have reached, that He's my resurrection. He's my life. What can you do to someone who has the hope of resurrection? Death has lost its sting for us. Amen.